This is Jay Sekulow in a shocking New York Times poll. 64% of Democrats say to Joe Biden, don't run in 2024.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
All right, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We start with where we are politically. We're going to get into this discussion. So the New York Times, not exactly a conservative publication, has conducted a poll. 4%, could be within 4% of the margin of error. New York Times, seeing a poll, and this is 849 registered voters nationwide, July 5th through 7th, so very recently. Opposition to President Biden running again. This is from Democrats. 64%. Well, let me say that again. 60%, not 64%, Logan, of the populace. 64% of registered Democrats.
Yep.
Are saying Joe Biden should not seek re-election.
And it's a narrative you're seeing all over the media, and it's almost presumed that he won't be the nominee in 2024. You have people, like even Stephen Colbert had AOC on this week, and he's encouraging her to run, or last week. These are the kind of conversations that are happening that you're not used to seeing. And I think the failure of the Biden administration is clear. They know it. They see their own people. You had a million voters switch from Democrat to Republican over the last, since the last time they checked. Why? Because they know that things are going south and going south very quickly. And when that happens, you're going to see something like this. Now, I've never lived in a time where the incumbent essentially did not presumably get the nomination.
I have.
But you said during the time of Carter so, that it has happened in recent history.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Carter had a serious primary challenge from Ted Kennedy. For the 1980 presidential nomination, and almost won, because Jimmy Carter's approval ratings were around 33%. Joe Biden's, if you look at all the polling data, like the combined polls, is about 34%. What's interesting is the opposition appeared to be strongest among those under the age of 30, with an overwhelming 94% of them saying they want someone else to be the nominee. But how much of that is because Biden's not progressive enough?
I think it's not progressive enough, and he's embarrassing. I think he's embarrassing people everywhere he goes. He's saying something stupid. He's repeating things like repeat the line, and he can't read a teleprompter. And they see this as and you see then Ukraine, and you see Afghanistan. You've seen failure after failure, plus someone who is not respected on a global stage, not respected within his own country. I think it's a very logical conclusion that this will happen. I think they also look at it and go, there's a darn good chance if he be's the nominee, he loses. So we have to put up someone else. It is a very interesting time if you're a Democrat. There's some of my friends, I don't really know any of them, who think that this Biden presidency has been a success. I think they've all seen, and we're only a year and a half in. It feels like 10 years. But we're only a year and a half in to what feels like a failed state that we're in right now.
Only 13% of Americans believe the country is heading on the right track. Let me say that number again. 13% of Americans feel like the country is heading on the right track. That you're barely in double digits there. So again, and of course, a lot of it is the economy issue, I think really the economic consequences of the Biden administration policies. We're going to get into this, and where we look and how we look on the global stage right now is just not. The American people aren't buying it, and they're having to pay for it, and it's really expensive. I mean, it's breathtaking sometimes.
People are shocked and embarrassed. We were sitting with someone last night who's like a Hollywood producer, and they said, look, if nothing changes, you're going to see a massive shift because they can't afford it. People who are progressive understand a lot of times when their candidate gets in, prices go up. It just seems to happen that way. But not like this, not where it feels out of control. And with this, plus shootings happening all over the country, it feels out of control. And even if you blame conservatives, you blame Republicans, you can blame Democrats, it feels like a mess. And if you're a progressive liberal and you're seeing you have a president who is a Democrat in there, and there's Roe versus Wade just got overturned and there's shootings happening, it feels like nothing's getting done. I'm sure if you're a progressive liberal, you're going, we have to have a change because the policies that you put him in place for aren't happening. And if you're a conservative, you're kind of going, we told you so.
All right, folks, we are in a matching challenge here at the ACLJ for this month, and we need your help. That means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell. podcast, everyone. In a few moments, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. Because if you're watching us on our social media platforms, just playing a clip from Christopher Wray, the FBI director, warning about China. He spoke at a joint event in London alongside the head of MI5. MI5 is the counterpart for the FBI. Do we have Rick? We do. Hey, Rick, I want to get your impression first on Christopher Wray said the scale of the threat we're talking about is not something that we believe we can investigate our way out of or certainly arrest our way out of. China is the most game-changing of all threats in the sense that it pervades so many aspects of our national life. This coming from the FBI director. You've been warning about this for a long time. How serious is this threat?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, as the former acting director of national intelligence, China is a crisis. Russia has always been a problem. But for anyone who tries to pretend like Russia is a bigger problem for the United States than China, they are literally not reading the intelligence. China is a crisis. We've known this for many years. My frustration with Chris Wray is that he's been very slow to focus on China. As you know, he has put a lot of resources into this phony Russia investigation, calling Donald Trump a Russian asset. The FBI has literally been the wrong crisis. And so what I would argue is when Chris Wray says that we can't arrest our way out, or we can't tariff our way out, or we can't be proactive enough, he's wrong. Of course we can. We're the United States of America. What we have to do is get focused on China and act in big, bold ways like Donald Trump was doing.
You know, the thing I don't like coming out of Christopher Wray's mouth, and you just said this, it sounds like when they say, I don't think there's ever been a time, and this is what he says, where China is more of a threat. Okay, well, that's kind of a given. But then this idea that we can't, you know, investigate our way out of this or arrest our way out of it, well, then what do we do? We're not going to have a war with the Chinese. So to me, this is, again, another one of these things where you set the bar low so that when your inaction isn't measured against much, Rick.
Let me be very clear. There is a whole group of people in Washington, D.C. who think that the rise of China into global domination is inevitable. And let me repeat that again. There's a group of people who believe we cannot stop China from being the global power that they are, and therefore we should work with them or manage them. I absolutely disagree. We are the United States of America. When we get focused on a problem, we solve it. We have a problem with China. And guess what? Let me tell you, I've traveled the world. I've worked at the UN for 8 years. The world knows that China is a problem. The Eastern Europeans, the Balkan nations, the Europeans, Middle East, Africa, they know that all of the things that China comes in the beginning to promise never materialize. They say they're going to build these big projects, and all they do is ask for visas, bring their own people in, and they take the money. Everyone around the world knows this. Chris Wray seems like the last one to realize what's happening with China.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Rick, see what's going on in our own country, and we've kind of tuned out international affairs. I think you look at it and go, okay, China's bad. We know they're doing bad stuff. But right now, we are so focused on, you know, we just were talking earlier about the polls that most Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run for re-election. You know, when those kind of things happen, and obviously conservatives do not want him to be the president. So when you have that, and you feel like there is this sort of failed state mentality going on, it's hard to take your eyes and put them to China. But it kind of does, I'm sure you can explain more, impact everything.
Well, I think you hit it on the head there, Logan. One of the things that we need to remember is that we need an America first foreign policy, and we shouldn't feel bad about that. We shouldn't feel like it's a selfish move. The reality is an America first policy of putting rule of law first, democracy, human rights, capitalism, that benefits all of the world. That benefits our allies. Every country puts themselves first. When the strongest country in the world puts itself first to build a positive economy based around the rule of law, that will absolutely benefit the rest of the world because there will be rules, established rules enforced by the global power. We can't trust China to do that. They don't act in ways that are going to help the rest of the world. Our policies are America First policies. We should be very proud of. They're not selfish policies. They help the rest of the world. And our diplomats should be making that case around the world. Why does America First help the rest of the world? Because we establish rules that are rules-based, capitalism, rule of law, and a sensitivity towards human rights.
You know, it's interesting, Rick, also, the Chinese had a huge influence, or attempted to, on college campuses, and they did. And then that became public. And because of pressure that was put on, the colleges had to back away with their Chinese partnerships in a lot of state universities included. So this idea that there's nothing we can do is bogus, because we've seen if you shine light on it, action can be taken.
First of all, there's one thing that I have been pushing for a long time that I think would make a dramatic difference, is that we should not allow American companies that work inside China to also be able to have contracts with sensitive government programs, whether it's DOD or Intel programs. I'm not saying you don't get to work in China, but I am saying that you have to choose. You don't get to work on sensitive U.S. programs while also working inside China with a requirement that the Chinese have, that you have a Chinese partner and you share data information with that Chinese partner. That entity is then beholden to the Communist Party. Your information is shared. I don't care what kind of firewalls you have.
Right.
The reality is if you do business in China, the Chinese Communist Party knows exactly what's going on and has all of your information.
So let's do this. Let's play Christopher Wray. This is the comments he made at this conference. Take a listen.
At least see that it's the Chinese government that poses the biggest long-term threat to our economic and national security. And by our, I mean both of our nations, along with our allies in Europe and elsewhere. And I want to be clear that it's the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party that pose the threat we're focused on countering, not the Chinese people, and certainly not Chinese immigrants in our countries, who are themselves frequently victims of the Chinese government's lawless aggression.
And the issue then becomes, of course, you recognize the problem, but what's lacking here is solutions, Rick.
Yeah, totally. You're sitting there thinking, as you're listening to the FBI director, Chris Wray, no duh. We've known this for 5 years. What are you doing? You're the director of the FBI. What are you doing to articulate the problem this far after the problem has taken hold is not progress. And if I were in Congress, if I were a senator, I would be hauling this guy in to say, well, what are you thinking of the solutions? What are you doing? Because he has literally commanded an agency that has told us constantly that Donald Trump was a Russian asset, and they literally classified information that would have disproven that. They hid the information from the public. It's an outrage, and still someone needs to go to prison. The FBI and the DOJ are not going to get their credibility back until people are prosecuted for what they lied to the American public about for years.
You're heading to Albania. Let our audience know, we'll be praying for you on that. I know it's a big trip. Tell us what's at stake.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to Serbia, Albania, Montenegro, and Israel over the next 2 weeks. And, you know, as a guy who's in the private sector now, I feel confident that the Trump policies of economic development for the Balkans, it should be a priority. That's how we're going to solve problems. You know, I believe that we should do everything to avoid war, and that means the private sector investing so that people have jobs. It means the State Department being at the forefront with tough diplomacy. We should not have war as an option constantly. And so I'm going with some private equity guys to look at projects in the region that bring American, not only American investment, but also American values to the region. And I think it's really important.
That's great.
And then I'll finish up in Israel with CPAC Israel.
That's great.
Ben Shapiro and I are leading the delegation, and it should be a fantastic time in Israel.
That's great. And we of course, have an office in Jerusalem and do a lot of work in Israel and also in the international criminal courts, as you know. Hey, folks, Rick, thanks for being with us. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You've heard a lot from Rick on the scope and nature of what we're doing. Your support makes a huge difference.
That's right. Right now, it is a part of our July matching challenge, which means every donation you make is effectively doubled by another donor who is waiting in the wings to support the work of the ACLJ. So if you give $10, it's effectively $20 to the organization. 20 becomes 40, so on and so on. And you can do that really easily. There's nothing extra you have to do. Just go to ACLJ.org. You'll see right on the homepage, big matching challenge, donations doubled. Donate today. Click that big green button and your tax-deductible donation will be effectively doubled. When it comes to the support of the organization, you don't get charged double. Someone, again, is on the other side. They're saying, hey, if that person gives $10, I'll match it. It's a really great time to do it. So if you're thinking about making a donation, now is the time during the month of July. And you can do it right now during the broadcast. And that is at ACLJ.org. Don't go there just to donate, though. There's incredible content you need to check out as well. Be right back.
Move to another topic, because President Biden signed an executive order dealing with Roe versus Wade. He did not like the decision. He called the Supreme Court rogue, and he put an executive order in place.
Yeah, I think we actually have a bite from President Biden. We probably should lead with that. And when he was making this announcement of the executive order, a lot of people started texting me, a lot of calls coming and saying, what does this mean? Is this, you know, what could he actually do? And I think there is, look, I think there is concern always when this stuff starts happening, that just because you won a Supreme Court case, which seems like should be the end game, a president come in and undo it. It is definitely big, but the fight continues on, and it will likely for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
So let's take a listen to President Biden from this past Friday, I believe. Yep.
We cannot allow an out-of-control Supreme Court working in conjunction with extremist elements of the Republican Party to take away freedoms and our personal autonomy.
So you don't like a decision of the Supreme Court of the United States, and now they're the out-of-control Supreme Court. I mean, think about that for a moment. But then think about this. He puts in, C.C. Howell's with us, senior counsel, does a lot on these issues, puts in an executive order. And let me read you, this is under Section 3, little I, actually Section 4. The Secretary of Health and Human Services shall, in consultation with the Attorney General and the Chair of the FTC, consider options to address the deceptive or fraudulent practices related to reproductive health care services, including online, and to protect access to accurate information. Code word, we're going to use the FTC and the Department of Justice, NHHS, to try to close down, you guessed it, crisis pregnancy centers. And Javier Becerra would know about that, the HHS secretary, because he was the defendant in a case that we brought with others to the Supreme Court of the United States, where he lost by using these same arguments. But they are clearly targeting the crisis pregnancy centers.
Right. We continue to see that constantly. We saw it with members of Congress and attorney generals asking Google to remove crisis pregnancy centers from any search that included abortion. They go after these clinics. We also see it in New York, where they're trying to go after the crisis pregnancy centers because of the information that they give. And this is the same type, this is the same language, the deceptive or fraudulent practices related to reproductive health care so that people get accurate information. And that's always targeted to crisis pregnancy centers because the claim is they give false information, which is ridiculous. It's the exact opposite. The crisis pregnancy centers are the only ones that are providing true information to pregnant women so that they can make a truly informed decision about their baby.
But the idea that you're going to unleash the Department of Justice, HHS, and the Federal Trade Commission against pro-life crisis pregnancy centers, or women's resources centers, as they're called. We represent a lot of them across the country, and some of our staff was on the phone with them as late as last week dealing with this issue. We've got a team, a task force set up at the ACLJ to defend these crisis pregnancy centers from, by the way, everything from violence to government overreach. But this is in the president's executive order, Logan. So this is front and center. This is just one of many. I'll give you another one in a minute.
Yeah, and I think maybe that one is the one that maybe we should all kind of look at and go, well, that's kind of a concern. Some of these are, like you said, a lot of them are just words. And when there is a time when you see crisis pregnancy centers being, you know, harassed, being attacked, bombed, everywhere around the country it's happening right now, and you see these protests still happening, they have turned violent. It is a concern when the president starts saying things like an out-of-control Supreme Court. When really, actually, if you look at how the Supreme Court has ruled, other than this case, which they don't care for, it's not like it's been
you know, this super conservative.
This super conservative, the Remain in Mexico was, you know, overturned. These right. things are happening, but because it's abortion, it becomes the number one thing. Of course, now they're out of control.
But look, it's politics too. Let's play. This is another statement from President Biden. Take a listen.
We need two additional pro-choice senators and a pro-choice House to codify Roe as federal law. Your vote can make that a reality. I know it's frustrating, and it made a lot of people very angry, but the truth is this, and it's not just me saying it, it's what the court said. When you read the decision, the court has made clear it will not protect the rights of women, period, period.
I think there is also a lot of people who are very upset, and we brought up the Biden approval rating, because always, and we've said this for decades, the Supreme Court, for some reason, is never a big election.
You always think it's going to be.
You think it should be, and it doesn't even come up in half the debates. I think last time it did not come up
right.
in the debates.
Right.
And obviously, it's the lasting legacy of a presidency.
Sure, it was. Sure, it was for the previous president.
It was for the previous president. It's for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because that's what can continue your policies going forward or can continue something like that. It looks like that, at least.
But here's what they're doing. They're going to unleash the power of the federal government to go after these resource centers that are trying to convey a pro-life message as if they're engaged in a criminal enterprise or fraudulent and deceptive practice. So they don't hide it. Then they want, under Section 3B, let me read this one, to promote access to reproductive health care services, the Attorney General, again, the Department of Justice, and the counsel to the President, White House counsel, shall convene a meeting of private pro bono attorneys, bar associations, and public interest organizations in order to encourage lawyers to represent and assist patients, providers, and third parties lawfully seeking these services throughout the country. Now, look, you can do whatever they want, but now you got the Department of Justice and the White House saying we're going to coordinate this pro bono effort. This tells you where they're at.
Right. Private entities, private attorneys now, they're engaging and training to how they're going to go after any state that wants to have pro-life laws and how to attack that. And I don't know that that's ever been done before. Well, could you imagine?
I can imagine if a president were to say we're going to do for border enforcement, what we're going to do is we're going to get a meeting of private lawyers together to help on border enforcement. And the left would go crazy. You can't do that. You can't bring private lawyers involved in this. But it's abortion. So again, they think this is where Alito was right in a lot of ways. It's abortion, so they think all the rules can change. But guess what? The Supreme Court said that can't happen anymore. So that's not the way it is anymore. And yeah. Period.
And that's what I was saying is when people were running, they didn't become an issue. And now that it didn't go their way, even though they have a Democratic president, they are seeing that it's ineffective. I mean, you even had like Hollywood celebrities. You had Deborah Messing, I think, went on and said, what? Like she turned on Biden, eventually had to turn back. She had so much heat saying, my entire, I got you elected because this is, I wanted you to stop things like this. What's the point of us even Hollywood trying to support a Democrat if they can't get things done? But it's like, again, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of how the law works.
Right.
But people have that.
You're exactly
they think
right.
A president can do everything.
That's right. So they think he can just rule by executive order, which right. we've seen several presidents try to do.
Yeah.
But there are three branches of government, and people forget that. So just because you get the president in, that doesn't mean that the legislative branch and the judicial branch are controlled by that same president. And the judicial branch is supposed to be apolitical, where we shouldn't have politics. Of course, we know we do, but we shouldn't have politics in that branch. They were simply, in that Dobbs decision, they were simply following the Constitution, saying there is not a right to abortion in the Constitution, which is correct. That's all they decided.
They returned it to the states.
Now it goes to the states, and everybody's up in arms.
Yeah. Well, here's the reality. So we know now that the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, and the FTC, and the HHS, Health and Human Services, are going to target pro-life crisis pregnancy centers. And that's why the ACLJ, we've got a task force of the ACLJ to defend them anywhere in the country. We already are. Your support makes a huge difference. We're in a matching challenge this month. That means anything you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. If you want us to be able to stand up to now the federal government again in this executive order, having the Department of Justice go after crisis pregnancy centers, which is exactly what they're planning, then support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. If you donate $10, we get $20, $20, $40. You donate $100, it's $200. So we encourage you right now, go to ACLJ.org, support our work, ACLJ.org. Coming up, we'll get a report from Washington, D.C., an attempt to codify federally Roe versus Wade. Back with more in a moment.
Hey, At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Seculo.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Covered a lot of topics. Biden's approval ratings down in the 30% range, 64% saying they don't want them, of Democrats don't want him to run again. You've got that whole issue. And then at the same time, we talked about the threat from China. Then we talked about what the federal government going after crisis pregnancy centers in an executive order signed by President Biden. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking about the codification. There's an attempt at the federal government level to codify Roe versus Wade. In other words, make it a federal law, which raises a whole host of issues. And we've got a blog up at aclj.org where we talk exactly about that. So, if, by the way, you need to be on all of our social media platforms, Logan. People need, if you want information, we've got a lot of information, a lot of content available.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously always promote supporting the work of the ACLJ, going to the website. But what I try to do whenever I'm on here is that you have to go and spend time on our website, on all of our social media platforms. And we're everywhere. We're on YouTube, Rumble. We're on Twitter and Truth. We're everywhere you can get content. We are available on Facebook, obviously, and in Instagram. But when you go there, you're going to see unique content that we post, and specifically, you'll find incredible articles, incredible video content that's created by our team each and every day to keep you informed, as we say in the beginning, informed and engaged with what's happening in the world around you. And that doesn't happen. That work also doesn't happen where this great content is created without the support as well of the ACLJ. So it all kind of ties back in. You know, if you could see just beyond these walls, the amount of people that are working on the incredible content here, I think you would be shocked, surprised, or amazed at the quality of people that come to work here and put in this incredible content. And this is just a small, this 1 hour a day we do here is just a very small portion of a big deal, a big popular portion, but still a very small portion of all the things that we offer.
Yeah, a lot of content up. Let's go to the phones. Let's take Richard's call, Logan, out of California.
Richard in California, you're on the air.
Hey, Richard.
Yes, yes. God bless all you guys. It's been a while. It's a real pleasure to be able to ask you this question. I've been trying to find out what the right to privacy has to do with allowing abortions. And they're having a big deal here in California where they're afraid that, you know, this thing, Roe versus Wade, has been taken care.
Like, there's a lot of that, and there's also a new thing that has come out over the weekend where the president has considered whether to make this a public health emergency, and he said, you know, he's looking at whether he has the authority to do that and what impact it would have.
Yeah.
So just abortion access. By
yeah. Yeah. But so here's what the right to privacy was the false basis upon which Justice Blackmun wrote that the right to abortion existed in the federal constitution, which was rejected, by the way, by people like Lawrence Tribe and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So there was never but that was the basis they used. So now what they're doing, and Cece can address this, is some of the states, they're going to the state's constitutions and trying to read that right into the state's constitutional parameters. That's what's happening right now.
That's right. And so if we're talking about the right to privacy that was created, like judicially created, they're trying to do that now with state constitutions saying, well, but your state constitution has a right to privacy, which we just saw, again, the Supreme Court strike all of that down. So I don't think they'll have much access there. I think this other privacy issue that you're hearing about right now is they want to keep all medical records very private because they're worried about if you have a miscarriage or a different kind of problem in your pregnancy, they don't want those medical documents then getting released to government to say, oh, you had an abortion in these states where abortion is legal, which is, again, a fabricated problem. It's fabrication.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by Than Bennett talking about this attempt to federally codify Roe versus Wade and make it through the House. We'll see what all that means. 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge for the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for us. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org, and your support will be doubled, be matched by somebody, another one of our donors. Again, get the information we have. We're on Twitter, Jace, at Jay Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. We're on Truth, same situation. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, a lot of places to get information. Of course, aclj.org. Back with your calls at 800-684-3110. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. There's an attempt now to codify. That means put into law Roe versus Wade. This is the new move that the pro-choice groups are making to try to get another version of federal protection.
Right, and they've done it several times. I mean, we've seen these bills come up in Congress several times before they've been defeated each time. Yep. But if the Supreme Court is going to say, rightfully so, that there's no constitutional right to abortion, then they're going to try and make it into federal law. But we have a team acting on that and ready to strike on that as well.
Yeah, so let's go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington right now. And Than, give me your take on where this is. I mean, what's the language? There's two bills. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm actually glad Susie started where she did, that this is an attempt that has been defeated before, because what has happened now, Jay, is the House of Representatives has decided that they are going to again bring up two bills. The main focus is going to be on the one called the Women's Health Protection Act. And like you said, it is an effort to codify, to put into federal statute the standards in Roe, so to make it a statutory right to pursue abortion. But Jay, it goes a lot beyond that. It also says that states cannot enact any sort of restrictions or any sort of protections for women that are seeking these abortions. So you're talking about things like informed consent protections that a state might put in place, or hospital admitting privileges, or even health and safety standards. Jay, all of that would be out the door if the Congress would enact and the president would sign this bill that they're going to likely vote on Friday. Procedurally, Jay, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, the House Rules Committee is going to meet, and they're going to put out rules to govern debate on these two bills, and they're likely going to come to the floor on Friday. Jay, just quickly, the second one, honestly, this is a messaging bill. It's a bill that says states cannot interfere with people who are trying to cross state lines to obtain an abortion. How many times have we told people listening to this broadcast, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, it is going to make it a matter of state law. Some states are going to permit abortion. Other states will not, or they'll enact restrictions. And some people will cross state lines to try to seek that.
Of course.
Jay, I'm telling you, they're putting that bill on the floor of the House on the same day to try to distract from the one where they're trying to codify Roe v. Wade into federal law.
But you know what's ridiculous about that is, and I'm just going to make the legal statement here. A state cannot prevent a person from leaving their state to go to another state if they were trying to seek an abortion, or seek to go to a restaurant for that matter, whatever it might be. That's interstate travel. It's protected under the Constitution. So putting that as a law now, or as something we've got to look at this because this may happen, is nothing but a publicity stunt. That's not reality.
Right. It's smoke and mirrors. It's totally a sham. You can travel between two states. You always have been able to. And so it's ridiculous. It's basically they've made this bill to say what we all know the law is. Somebody can leave a state and go into another state. That is the law. And we know that. And so this is, it's just smoke and mirrors.
But here, listen to what I'm going to play Vice President Harris's statement over the weekend. Take a listen to this.
We also need Congress to act, because that branch of government is where we actually codify, which means put into law, the rights that, again, we took for granted, but clearly have now been taken from the women of America. And that does have to happen, and we should not allow ourselves to minimize the significance of that, which is Congress needs to act.
So what's going to happen in Congress? Let's go to that first then. What's the next move here?
So last September, the House essentially took this same vote. Now, they've updated some of the language in light of Dobbs, but the impact is the same. That bill passed the House 218 to 211. I suspect, Jay, the vote this Friday will be something similar to that. But it's noteworthy that they're taking this vote again in the House because they don't have to do that. The bill has already cleared the House. What they need to do is pass it through the Senate. Here's why they're not doing that, Jay. They've tried to pass this bill twice in the Senate, and CeCe alluded to this a moment ago. Both times it failed. And here's something I really want people to pay attention to this week as the messaging sort of rolls out. The blame for that on the pro-abortion side has always said, well, Republicans filibustered the bill. Jay, there were only 49 U.S. senators in favor of this bill each time. That is not even a simple majority. So we're not talking about a filibuster that's keeping this from passing the Senate. A majority of the United States Senate is opposed to this bill, and that's why it's not being sent to the president for his signature.
Let me ask you this, though, Than, because people are going to ask this. There's been all this talk about nuking the filibuster. For Roe versus Wade, basically, is what they said, a special limited legislative filibuster removal. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, it's totally on the table. I mean, we've talked about it on this broadcast before. We'll say it again. They would do it if they had the votes. And here's kind of where that plays out, Jay. Every Democrat in the United States Senate is willing to nuke the filibuster in order to pass this legislation, except for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. When it comes to the substance of this bill, there are actually two Republicans that are willing to join Democrats on a narrower version of it, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Now, Jay, the math is very difficult for Leader Schumer to work together, but I am telling you, if he could come up with some combination of 50 votes to nuke the filibuster in a limited capacity for this issue, and then use a different combination of 50 votes, maybe with a couple of Republicans, to pass a codification of Roe, maybe a little bit narrower than this bill, Jay, he would absolutely do it. So I don't want people to take their eyes off the ball. I don't think the Senate has the votes right now, but we're going to make sure that this is still front and center and that the real ramifications are known to the senators that would be taking those votes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's right for people to be excited that Roe got overturned, but I think there is a concern. Look, we're talking about all of these legacy pieces, and to show you that there is always going to be this, not always, but at least during this presidency, I feel like, and maybe until the midterms, something hanging over going,
I mean, that's true.
This could change rapidly, and our team needs to understand that. And our people who listen to this show need to understand that just because there was a big victory in the Supreme Court, which there obviously was, that this could quickly be undone, and that is scary.
Well, you know, look, CeCe brought this up when we were talking before we went on air, and this is true. Planned Parenthood said that only 3% of their business was abortions, right? Then ask yourself this question. Why are they closing up clinics all over the country if it's just 3% of your business?
Right. It's absolutely true.
I mean, their business.
That's very telling. I'm like, okay, if really, truly what you do, abortions is 3% of your business, just because you can't do abortions in this state, why do you have to close? I mean, you still have 97% of your business that you can retain. And, you know, I'll say, too, when Logan's saying, you know, we can't stop, I was flying back from Washington, D.C., and I was standing next to one of the leaders in Planned Parenthood. Of course, she had no idea who I was, but she was strategizing. They were on the move. She was flying from the East Coast to the West Coast. They had conference calls. Yeah. So don't think that they're thinking we're defeated. They're going to fight, and we have to, too.
Yeah, you know, if anything, this will be the biggest fundraising probably month they've ever had.
Sure, because for them, this is for real. And Than, you deal with Planned Parenthood, and they're more activated now than ever.
Oh, definitely more activated, certainly in Washington, D.C. And, Jay, I would say it's spread across the country now. I mean, you talk about Planned Parenthood facilities that are closing in states that have passed these laws. I mean, that is exactly why we're engaging in all 50 states, both states that are restricting abortion and ones that aren't, Jay, because it really shows the fallacy of what they're about. I mean, you know, if a woman comes in seeking a genuine health care and not abortion services, in almost every case, what happens to that woman? They get referred somewhere else because in most cases, those facilities don't even have the machines to provide the service that woman is seeking. So again, that's why we're engaging the state laboratories, because that's where the debate has moved. But look, Logan's correct. It could very, very quickly come back to the federal level. It is this week, Jay, so we can't take our eye off the ball there either.
Let's go ahead and take Jerry's call. This is an interesting one. We'll give me
All right, Jerry, in Rhode Island, you're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. A comment to what CeCe was talking about.
Yep.
that second bill is just to spur up ignorant people by the midterms.
100%.
The question is, what's the status of tracking the leak from the Supreme Court now that Roe's over? Is it gone by the wayside?
I doubt it. I think they probably, my guess is they probably know who did it. They're probably taking action, I'm guessing. Because the end result was the decision that was leaked was very close to the final decision. In fact, really the only difference was the final decision had in it a response to the dissent.
Right. That was the only addition was they had to address the dissent's opinions. But, you know, it doesn't, that doesn't change the fact that there was a leaker and there was illegal what happened.
Yeah,
and they should still be, I don't know if we're going to hear any more about
it or not. It's an independent branch of government. But I'll tell you, the intimidation, they ran Justice Kavanaugh or attempted to run him out of a Morton Steakhouse. Yeah. I mean, they're paying, groups are getting paid to give tips when they find a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, exactly. And you see these sort of doxing of all these organizations that even say.
Explain to everybody what doxing is.
Well, it was just like, okay, again, this is very low level protesting, if I'm being completely honest and we're being honest with ourselves. Is it something like Morton's, who put out a statement saying, hey, we just don't want our customers harassed. We don't care what political side you're on. You know, we're a restaurant. Please leave us alone. Obviously, people have the right to protest. And when they said that, then Morton's got flooded across the country. It's a chain with fake reservations. So then, in theory, they were booked. Therefore, no one was coming in and the money was coming through. So that kind of thing is what happens and continues to happen. And again, it's sort of the new form of protesting. It's not necessarily always in the streets, not necessarily always in your face. If someone disagrees with what you do, they're going to figure out a way to cause you financial or physical harm.
Yep. And Than, we've got to stay on this legislation, though. People need to understand that.
Just a matter of hours. Rules Committee meets tomorrow, Jay. The vote will be on Friday. And if it passes again, it'll be back in the United States Senate. So we'll stay engaged.
All right. We're going to fight, folks. We need your help. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Logan's going to let you know what you can do, folks. But this is a really important time to stand with us.
Yeah. We're going to take some phone calls. Give me a call. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the air. But support the work of the ACLJ. Effectively, all donations are doubled right now because of amazing members who are ready to match your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. $10 becomes $20, so on and so on. We'll be right back.
Everybody, for the last segment of the broadcast, let me give you something interesting here. So we're going to talk economy for a little bit. And I know if you want to talk to us on that, by the way, 1-800-684-3110, gas prices, food prices. It was blame all this on Vladimir Putin. That was the Biden team. They were out. They were messaging that. President said it. Vice president said it. This was their Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine has caused this. Now they're saying it's the Republicans are to blame for the economic problems. Let me read you this tweet. This is from President Biden. We'll put it up on the screen. Republicans are doing nothing but obstructing our efforts to crack down on gas price gouging, lower food prices, lower health care costs, and hopefully soon lower your prescription drug costs. This is not right, and that's why this election is going to be so darn important. So they've turned it now from Vladimir Putin, Harry, to Republicans.
And I think if they were relatively competent, they might actually get away with it. Jay, Voltaire has said that if you can get people to believe an atrocity, an absurdity, it opens the door to atrocities. Now President Biden, who has consistently blamed Russia for high gas prices and inflation that exceeds a 40-year high, is blaming Republicans. This is absurd. Even CNN has rightly suggested that Biden's latest maneuver, blaming Republicans for his own failures, is simply horse manure. Virtually no American, with the possible exception of America's mental patients, believes President Biden's claims. Nevertheless, he keeps speaking, and he keeps digging a gigantic hole for himself. Keep in mind, President Biden canceled pipelines, canceled oil and gas leases, insisted on an inflationary vaccine mandate that now deprives hospitals of essential personnel and airlines of pilots. This drives up costs, and he knows it. At the same time, of course, he's given $45 billion to Ukraine. President Biden has imposed sanctions on Russia that are backfiring on the American people as the Russian ruble continues to rise. And so To add to all of this incompetence, what is the president now doing? He is selling oil to China. So we've moved from mere incompetence to malfeasance, and I think the American people should be prepared to react peacefully to this level of misconduct.
But what they've done is they've turned it into an election issue. First it was blame the Russians, now it's blame the Republicans. The fact is, blame their own policies. You close down the pipeline, as Harry said. You put so many restrictions on oil and gas producers domestically in the United States. We were energy independent. And then you write them a threat letter saying, why are you doing this and how much money did you make last year? But they're also saying, we're going to get rid of fossil fuels in 3 to 5 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the greatest things that could happen for them was for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, because at least they have something they can campaign on. I mean,
but again, it ranks really low.
It does rank low. But I'm saying they had something they can talk about. That's just purely the facts. If you look at, again, the approval ratings this morning that we talked about at the beginning of the show, if you look at it specifically, it is that people don't even want him. Democrats don't even want President Biden to be the nominee next time around. You have Gavin Newsom essentially running for president right now in the state of Florida, pretending it's an ad for governor. We all know it's not. It's not really an ad paid for by his reelection campaign, but we all know it's already him starting to target big swing states like Florida and go after people like Ron DeSantis. So it's an interesting time in politics because, again, they are seeing, everyone sees kind of blood in the water. They see it if you are a conservative, because you now have an opportunity in the midterms to really change the shape of it. You see it as a liberal if you are looking for a time to shine and you want to go at it. Gavin Newsom, I mean, almost was recalled. Then you now have... Now he's the champion. And honestly, if we're all being honest with ourselves, brilliant marketing.
Oh, it's good marketing.
It is. To be running these ads and getting... And he's on Truth Social now.
Yes.
You know, posting is brilliant. I disagree with him on, I think, 100% of his political positions. And I'm seeing San Francisco crumble, so thank you, Governor Newsom. But you can't help but look at it and go, this is the kind of creativity, this is kind of the initiative that people need to be looking at and seeing. I don't know who is running his campaign, but it's very interesting. You need to start looking at this. DeSantis needs to be responding and running those same ads, because I have friends in California, as far left as you can possibly imagine, who are saying if the election was tomorrow, they would vote for Ron DeSantis over Joe Biden, because at least he's consistent. At least they think he believes what he actually says. They don't feel like he's a puppet that's up there being controlled by a far left that he wasn't even a part of until 6 days ago.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls.
All right, let's go to Sally, who's calling in the beautiful state of Florida. Sally, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for what you do. My question is, you know, they say in order for evil to triumph, good men do nothing. Right. My question is, where are our good men? Why are we letting Biden and his cabinet ruin our country? I don't see anything fighting him. Just go in there and either, I don't know
I mean, the House and the Senate are controlled by Democrats. The White House is controlled by the Democrat Party. So the reality is it's 50-50 in the Senate, so you can kind of do some blocking maneuvers. But the reality is, and this is just true, it's the political reality. They know that they've got a limited time frame here, and that is by November, unless something radically changes, the Democrats are winning the House, and there's a chance that the Republicans are winning the House, and the Republicans may even get the Senate. There's a chance on the Senate. It's going to be closer in the Senate, but the House could be overwhelming. But when you're not in the party in power, when you're in the minority party, you're just, Harry, very limited in what you can do.
I think that is true, but I also would say that I think the caller makes a very important point, and that is the Republicans need to craft a constructive agenda, a coherent, cohesive agenda to basically highlight the missteps of the Biden administration.
You know, Cece, you ran for Congress 10 years ago. It's been a while, and a lot has changed in those 10 years.
Right.
But why we say elections have consequences, and policies of those elected officials have consequences. And that's what this is.
Absolutely. We have to see that November changes. We have to see the people that care get out and vote, and that you do elect people that, if you're conservative, have those same conservative values and will actually stand up for them once they get elected.
Right.
And I see people having that problem. They see, you know, a lot of the mainstream Democrats on the air, on both sides of the political spectrum in terms of cable news outlets or online social media. And it does seem like a time the Republicans have been a bit quieter, a bit more reserved in this, as they try to kind of get themselves
ready for November.
Ready for November.
Yep.
and figure out what's going to happen. I mean, I do agree with her. We need more than just Lindsey Graham out there, you know, kind of making a stir and saying something.
It is interesting because it is, Harry, it's pretty, the Republicans are pretty muted right now. I mean, pretty quiet.
Or they say something and put their foot in their mouth.
I think they are. I also think they really need to think constructively about the whole situation in the Ukraine, because that is a situation that has really backfired, I think, on the American people, with sanctions that are helping to drive up American prices.
Yeah.
All right. We got 50 seconds left.
All right. So let me ask people to do this. We've talked about a lot of topics today, and you've heard from a lot of our people. And you see this broadcast 5 days a week, and you don't see all the people behind this the glass here that are helping make this broadcast happen. Your support of the ACLJ makes all of this work here in the United States and literally around the globe. We're in a matching challenge. Very important month. July is a big month for us. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. What does that mean? We have a group of donors that have said, if you raise $50 from a donor, we're going to give you another $50 to match that. So you're not getting charged twice, but it actually doubles the impact of your gift. ACLJ.org for that.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org, not only to donate. We obviously are promoting that right now as we are part of this matching challenge, but to see the incredible content that's there and on all our social media platforms. Back tomorrow.